From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 63 of Little Brother for the 4th of December, 2021. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started! Israel have shortened the list of countries to which Israeli companies can export cyber weapons such as spyware. The list used to include 102 countries and has been shortened to just 37. The list is described as only containing what they are calling proven democracies. This new restriction will impact the exports of the nation's cybersecurity firms such as NSO Group and Candiru, both of which I discussed in the past. For past references, see episodes 44, 45, 52, and 59, as well as more in this episode. Like this one, for instance. The Citizen Lab is reporting that the devices of Palestinian human rights defenders have been hacked using the NSO Group's Pegasus spyware. Given that the Palestinian activists are going up against a state actor, this should probably not come as much of a surprise to anyone. The results were obtained by analyzing logs extracted from the phones. Citizen Lab were able to match specific process names with processes known to be part of the Pegasus spyware. NSO Group have implicitly acknowledged that the methodology does establish signs of a Pegasus compromise. All right, one more. At least 9 employees of the U.S. State Department have had their devices hacked using the Pegasus spyware. The information available does not establish the identity of the entity behind the hacks. NSO claims that they only sell their products to government law enforcement and intelligence agencies and that they do not participate actively in the surveillance work for which their product is used. They have indicated that when they determine who was behind the attack, that party's license will be terminated immediately and that NSO would be taking legal action. Companies that export cyber weapons from Israel must hold a license issued by the Ministry of Defense, and events like this potentially put such licenses at risk. Property of the People, a nonprofit specializing in government transparency, have obtained an FBI training document that details what information can be acquired and how for a number of commonly used messaging apps. The document was obtained by way of a Freedom of Information Act request, or FOIA. It details the information available from iMessage, Line, Signal, Telegram, Threema, Viber, WeChat, WhatsApp, and Wickr. Of those apps, Signal Private Messenger performed the best, and as I mentioned in episode 59, the only information that the Signal servers even have available to give is the date and the time that the user registered, the date and time that the last message was sent. We've recently also learned that Signal purges inactive accounts after a month, which not only helps them keep their servers tidy, but also ensures that data from disused accounts is not available in any capacity. All of the apps documented were limited in their ability to produce message content, if they could produce any at all. Qualcomm have introduced a new feature that is available with the new Snapdragon 8 processors. Your phone can now have its camera on all the time. You heard that right. Not only is your phone listening to everything you do, Now it can be watching too. The use case for this is that the phone can recognize you, lock and unlock based on whether or not it sees you, wake up with a glance, and accept other visual cues and gestures. The good news here is that, unlike a microphone, the camera can be rendered inoperable by placing a cover over it. The Australian federal government is considering new laws to curb trolling. If enacted, the new laws will require that social media platforms implement a complaint mechanism and that they produce the identity of their users on demand from a court or law enforcement body. They will also be held legally liable for the content published by users. My suspicion is that this will backfire and that the social media will rather withdraw from servicing Australian customers due to the risk and the potential cost associated with it. However, as this is still a draft legislation, the opportunity exists for sanity to return before the law needs to be tested. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means. It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwnt This Week. DNA Diagnostics Center, or DDC, is a DNA testing company located in Fairfield, Ohio, and performs all manner of retail DNA testing, paternity, fertility, ancestry, as well as forensics testing, including active participation in the Innocence Project. DDC announced recently that they have confirmed a breach between May 24th and July 28th, and that they concluded their investigation on October 29th. In the announcement, they lay out what was exfiltrated, and it's the garden variety retail hack, consisting mostly of user identities and payment information, certainly enough to cause fraudulent charges to appear. It appears to impact a bit over 2.1 million customers. They are taking the usual steps, advising the affected customers of the breach, offering free credit monitoring for a period of time, and advising people to check their credit reports. My biggest complaint on this one is that they took a month to report it to the public. Now, I understand the need to run the announcement by the lawyers and the PR department, but this is the sort of thing that needs to get fast-tracked. That brings us to the Los Angeles branch of Planned Parenthood, who were also pwnt recently. The breach occurred between October 9th and 17th and affects about 400,000 patients. Planned Parenthood of LA sent letters to the affected patients advising them that the information was exfiltrated, consisting of names, addresses, insurance info, dates of birth, and clinical information. This is big. Medical facilities have an obligation, both under HIPAA and under principles of just general decency, to protect patient data. For a facility that is the frequent target of political ire such as Planned Parenthood, this goes double. As with the DDC hack, about a month passed between the conclusion of the investigation and the announcement and notification of the affected customers. In this case, this is dangerous, as there's not only enough information to commit identity theft, but there are also fanatical and violent individuals who may use this information to target patients of the clinic. Again, I am disappointed in the length of time it took for the information to come to light in both of these cases, and I hope that this becomes a wake-up call to other medical facilities to better secure their systems and to fast-track their announcements. Twitter user Conquest of Dread posted a picture of his Wi-Fi-enabled barbecue grill on Thanksgiving Day. On the screen appeared the message, "Update in progress. Do not power off. Grill will reset." He writes, quote, "Your holiday being ruined because your Wi-Fi barbecue needs to do a software update is some real cyberpunk suburban dystopia shit," end quote. Another Twitter user going by the name of Hard Pass responded, "Who the hell will send a software update on Thanksgiving?" Hard Pass is asking the wrong question. It's completely the wrong question. I can't believe how vastly, hugely wrong the question is. Barbecue is not that complex. Fire plus ingredients equals food. Mankind have been doing this since well before the dawn of recorded time. In the name of all that is right and good in the universe, why would you want to muck up such a mind-numbingly simple formula by adding a computer, never mind one that's networked? Now, I don't want to hear about how convenient it is to be able to walk away from it and go do something else. This is not what barbecue is about. Barbecue is a ritual. Part of the ritual is minding the food. If you wander off to watch the game, hold a conversation, play a video game, or get wasted, whatever happens is on you. Don't be outsourcing this sacred ritual to a machine. At least we know he patched his systems. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks go out to Fungaboo, Azriel, Thriller at Play, and Knight Rider 007 for bringing stories to my attention. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Punk music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join in the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.